Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
He kōna I purangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
Piki mai, kake mai, and welcome to this Our Changing World podcast from RNZ with me, Alison Balance. I'm off to Island Bay in Wellington to catch up with freshwater fish biologist Evan Harrison from Greater Wellington Regional Council.
Now, I've come to do a story with you about freshwater ecology, but I'm in the oddest place for a freshwater ecology story.
So yeah, it is quite strange, eh?
Quite a busy road in Island Bay. There's a hole in the pavement in front of somebody's house and no sign of a stream.
Yeah, so once upon a time, there actually used to be a stream flowing all the way along here, up into the hills, all the way over the back there, around the back of Island Bay. So that was Paikawakawa Stream.
And is there any semblance of that stream left if you went up into what would have been the headwaters?
Oh, yeah, a couple of little bits up around the headwaters. So you can see some of the headwaters streams up on the hills near Brooklyn, so around Farnham Street behind McAllister Park. A few different fish species up there. So the main one that we get up there is banded cockapoo. And so what we think is they're moving up through the pipes, up into there, and because they're whitebait species, so they need to move from the ocean back up into the freshwater when they're spawning.
Right, so they are still migrating in and out of the stream.
Well, that's what we're trying to find out going down into the pipes, because we know there's eels down there. We've seen eels down there, but it would be good to confirm that the fish are actually moving back and forward through there. So that's why Alex is going down there.
So, Alex, can we borrow you for a minute? Can I get you to introduce yourself?
I'm Alex James. I work for a company called EOS Ecology. I got this idea from some previous work I'd been doing where I was just looking at the little remnant open parts in these catchments, and I figured, you know, there's 90% of the catchment has been piped, so must be worth having a look down in the pipes. So you've got this little pilot study looking at six pipe stream sites where you drop down manholes, although one of them you walk up an outlet at the ocean in Evans Bay, and you were just trying to see what's there, essentially. This is the second visit. The first visit, we did macroinvertebrate sampling using similar methods to what you use in open streams. We also installed a sticky trap, basically a sticky piece of plastic that catches flying insects. We recovered our first one this morning at another site, and there were at least four different adult fly species attached to it, which is pretty exciting. So there's things flying around down there, which is kind of interesting.
It's very unexpected. It must be pretty dark down there,
I'm thinking. It's 100% darkness, I'd say. It's just pitch black. And so this return visit, we were recovering those sticky traps and also trail cameras I'd put down there, which are set up to take a photo every 20 minutes, I think I did them. And this trip, we're specifically doing a fish survey just using spotlights to just get an idea of how many fish we can see down there. The previous visit, this particular site we're at now, I think I counted about 11 eels over about 100 metres. So we're just going to do that a little more formally, and also we're going to go 100 metres downstream of the manhole and 100 metres upstream of the manhole, cover like a 200 metre reach, and count the eels, try and work out if they're long fins or short fins, and get a bit of an estimate on their length.
Now, while we've been talking, somebody's just disappeared into that hole in the ground. Do you
want
to describe to me what they're doing?
There's an open manhole on a footpath in Island Bay, and they've put down the first person using a tripod and winch system. And having been to the site before, I can tell you exactly what it's like down there. You could stand up easily. It must be 2 metres tall and over 2 metres wide. So it's a great big sort of, I guess, almost square cavern, and you drop quite, this is one of the, you must drop down 2.5-3 metres to get to the bottom, and we're only about 200 odd metres from where the stream enters Island Bay.
Do you get any seawater coming back up at high tide?
Last time I didn't see any barnacles or things, so I don't think the seawater comes up quite up to this point. And in saying that, another one of our sites, which is in Lower Miramar, just by the shops in Miramar there, it's definitely tidal, and the barnacles and things living in the pipes.
Now, I suspect you might be needed to go down there. So
yep.
Off you go.
Yep.
Can you introduce yourself and just tell me what your role is here?
My name is Renee Wilkie. I am the pretty much health and safety of this job here. Our company's Silver Lining. The boss is running away, actually. So we're a small family-run operation. That's been my dad, my sister, the gentleman in the pipe with Alex is my brother, and this gentleman here is my cousin. I've been doing this for about 2 years now. Absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. The best thing about it is actually helping the environment, so making sure that we know what goes down the drain, and also to help the Kaimawana as well, because obviously, being a Māori, we love our seafood and moderation, but also to make sure that everything that's in our drains can survive, and also just educating everyone else as well.
Does all the stormwater from all these houses feed into this pipe as well?
Correct. Yep. So if they're not directly connected, most of them are connected to the curb, and then the curb goes into the sumps, sumps go straight down into the culverts and out into the sea. So that's why when you see it, when there's a heavy rain, you'll notice that the sea's quite dirty because it's washing away everything from the gutters.
Time for Alex to go underground.
Awesome. And we just took down a sticky trap, which is basically a sticky piece of plastic that catches flying insects. So I had a look at this one beforehand, there wasn't much on it. Right, now we are progressing for a bit of a pitch server over a 100 metre reach downstream of the manhole entrance. Cool. Okay, we've seen our first couple of eels. Can you shine right on them?
There you go.
We've just proven you can keep sugar eels underground. This is a little long fish. That's a piece of cord. Whoa, there's some really neat wave sounds down here.
Yeah.
Quite loud. Oh, here's a little, very small one. He is a short fin. This is actually one of the deeper parts we've seen, this tiny little pool of eroded concrete. Yeah, it has a Demon Energy drink can in it, which is a nice touch.
Yep.
And it's also got some sand accumulation, and you can see here, I think I'm actually seeing two separate eels there, buried in the sand.
Yeah.
These guys are looking for any tiny bit of cover they can find. He's almost completely, he's gone, completely gone. And there's the head of this one. And there's something over here too, there might be, what's that there? It's another one.
It's another one.
The heel's over here. There's like three eels buried in the sand here, which is kind of crazy. Sounds like something's coming down the pipe, but we know it's not.
We'll leave Alex down in the noisy dark and head back to Evan up on the street.
So how many streams are you checking as part of this project?
So we've got a mixture of surface streams and pipe streams. So 14 sites we're doing for the surface streams, so all the little streams surrounding the city. So yeah, we're trying to at the moment, as part of this monitoring program that we're doing in collaboration with Wellington City Council, is getting an idea just to start with about what's living in all these streams, what's living in the pipes, how it's using it. And then the idea is about halfway through this year is to set up a long-term monitoring program. Once we've got an idea of the variability around the different streams in the city, and then make some recommendations around that halfway through the year with Wellington City Council and how we can move forward with it.
Are you finding quite a bit of variation between the streams?
Yeah, it does vary quite a bit. So you get right up into those nice headwater streams that have got really good habitat. So you have a lot better sort of fish communities up in there, and macroinvertebrate communities as well, just because they like macroinvertebrates especially to get that diversity, like that really good habitat, lots of places to hide, same with fish as well. And there's one stream that we sampled on the south coast, Waipapa Stream, which is got no urban development in that catchment at all and no piping or anything. So we want to sample that as more of a control, just to get an idea about what some of the catchments used to be like around Wellington. And that's the only catchment that we've got a short-jaw cockapoo in. So that's that's one of the rarer whitebait species. So that was really cool when we found that. So myself and Sham, one of our monitoring officers, were walking up the stream at about 9 p.m. at night, and we're like, oh, that looks like a short jaw. And yeah, lo and behold, it was quite a big one as well, which was really cool to see.
So you were out at night because you spotlight with torches?
Yeah, so we're doing spotlighting, quite similar to what Alex is doing in the pipes here as well. So that's one of the common ways to know what fish are at a site, because a lot of them move around a lot more at night. So that involves our team going out at night to all these surface streams and walking up a few hundred metres of each of these streams, which is really cool because the stream's quite different at night when you're walking up it. And yeah, it's the best way to actually spot a lot of New Zealand native fish.
So is this a standard thing for a council to do?
Oh no, something new and different. So for us, we've always focused on the surface stream side of things. That was something that we wondered. We're like, oh, there's all these pipe streams in Wellington where you've got over 95% of the streams piped, and what ecological value have they got in there? What fish are in there? What bugs are there? What's the habitat like? Because it's got to be stuff living there, surely, and moving through there that we need to look after and manage into the future.
All the stormwater from around here must feed into these pipes, which must make it pretty tricky for the fish that are down there.
Yeah.
If you get a big rain event, a mass of water comes shooting through. It must be a hard place to be a fish.
Yeah, that's the thing. So there's a few different things at play there. In some of these bigger pipes, you'll get nowhere for the fish to hide if it's going really fast, because you think it's coming off all this really smooth ground and it's going to go in there really fast, really quickly. So I guess maybe one of the things we need to think about from what we find from this, are there opportunities to provide some refuge for fish and pipes to hide in the higher flow times, and so they can have a rest as they're moving up the pipes as well? Because, if it's really fast water, they're going to get really exhausted, and that's not going to be good for them moving up into the surface stream areas up in the catchment. And the other thing to worry about with fish and bugs as well is the quality of the water going into the pipes as well. So that's really a message for people living in around Wellington as well, is just be careful what you're putting down the drain as well, because it's not, there's fish and bugs moving through the pipes, so yeah, that's going to affect how healthy they are as well. So if you see anyone doing anything they shouldn't be, putting stuff down the pipes, it would be to give Greater Wellington Regional Council's Environmental Pollution Hotline a call, and we can have a look at it.
And then, of course, there's all the other standard things like the brake linings off cars.
Yeah.
Shed quite a few things.
Yeah, that side of things as well. So you've got all those road runoff and that side of things coming in there, copper and zinc going into the pipes, and a bit of contamination coming in that way as well.
So you're winding in the safety line.
Yep.
So they're on their way back.
They are indeed.
Eels.
Yeah, they're cool.
Short ones, mostly long ones, couple of short ones.
Yeah. So there was Ely down there?
There are eels down there, and there's basically seven eels downstream and eight upstream, so pretty similar.
Yeah.
Mostly long fins, couple of short fin eels, and interestingly, a lot of them are hiding beneath bits of brick or bits of concrete and stuff, so that even in pitch darkness, the eels are seeking out cover. So there's a lot we could do down there to make it actually better for eels.
Yeah, totally, yeah. Yeah, definitely agree with that.
Like what?
We could create deeper areas, deeper pools, because it's very shallow down there and they prefer deeper water. We could put in sort of half-broken, sewer pipes, just pipes, terracotta pipes and that from the hide underneath, or various types of eel hidey holes, that kind of, as long as they're large enough they don't wash away during high flows. You could do a lot to improve habitat down there for eels.
Any other fish down there?
No other fish down there that I could see, although we do know, Evan's probably already talked about this, but we do know that banded cockapoo, especially in this catchment, travel up these pipes to get to upstream open channels where we know there's little populations of them.
Yeah, so we've seen in some of the surface streams around Wellington, when we've been spotlighting them at night, you'll see a range of different sizes of fish in there, the really big ones, and we've seen tiny little white bait. So we know they're moving up through there. That's just quite hard to get them in the pipes. And
thinking about managing these systems as streams rather than as stormwater.
Yep.
You know, there might be a fish right under your feet right there.
Thanks, Alex. That was Alex James from EOS Ecology.
And we also heard from Evan Harrison, Senior Freshwater Scientist at Greater Wellington Regional Council. And a big thanks to Renee and the rest of the Wilkie whānau from Silver Lining Contracting. I'm Alison Balance, and this Our Changing World podcast from RNZ first aired on the 30th of May 2019. To listen again or check out photos, just head to our webpage, rnz.co.nz/ourchangingworld. There is a written feature with links to lots of related Our Changing World stories. Tracking longfin eels to solve the mystery of where they breed in the Pacific Ocean. A citizen science project to study plastic in streams. How fish ear bones are a diary of where a fish has lived and what it's eaten. And that's just this year. You can also sign up for our free weekly email newsletter while you're there. We are, of course, a free podcast in all the usual places. Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify and plenty of others. You'll also find my other podcasts, Elemental and the Kakapo Files, there as well. Stay in touch with us on Facebook and Twitter, where we are RNZ Science. Many thanks for your company. Bye for now. Mauri ora.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.